Lars Hasselblad Torres is a writer, artist, and educator who's just launched a project called A Search for America. He's driving across the country from his home in Vermont to listen to what ordinary people have to say about democracy and making our country a more perfect union. He was in Grand Marais last weekend for one of those listening sessions, and we're lucky enough to have him live on the phone from somewhere out west. Welcome to the Roadhouse, Lars.
Hey, good afternoon. It's a pleasure. Good evening, I should say.
Yes, well, I can imagine the time zone change. It's afternoon for you out west. Where are you calling from, Lars?
Yeah, well, the best I can do right now is somewhere west of Spokane.
Nice. Off the grid.
Washington.
Good for you. So you've been traveling across America the last month and a half or so. You were just in Grand Marais. Let's just explore your story here, The Search for America. Tell me, what's it all about, and how did you get this idea?
Yeah, well, I think you were... Thank you, by the way, for having me. It's a pleasure. And Grand Marais was beautiful. I'd never been there before, and it was just gorgeous. So it's a thrill. So let's see. Three influences. I used to work in public policy down in Washington, D.C., before I moved to Vermont. And one of the things that we were doing was trying to figure out how we could more deeply engage citizen voices in the policymaking process at the national level. You know, as we've grown to a mature democracy of 380 million citizens, it's a complex challenge to really live that reality of one person, sort of one vote, and everyone having a voice in governance. So that was one thing. I had this deep connection and passion for American democracy. The second is out of the last election. You know, I'm in Vermont. We were relatively isolated. I mean, we've got a substantial Republican tradition, but it's not what I would call this sort of hyper-partisan climate that seems to have really been evident in the last election. And I wanted to break my blue bubble, if you will, up there in Vermont, and get a deeper, more meaningful perspective on what people really think about democracy, not politics, but really that sort of lifeblood of American civilization, which is we all participate and help make this country more equitable, more fair, more prosperous for everyone. And then the third piece is, as an artist, my question is, well, what role can artists and sort of cultural creatives play to, you know, help make this more perfect union as the Declaration of Independence chartered every generation to sort of do? So those are maybe three streams of influence that brought me here to Eastern Washington today.
Yes, a very ambitious project. Are you undertaking this with your own funds? Do you have sponsorship? Like, tell us about who's helping you out along the way.
Yeah, there's a small organization in Washington, D.C. called the Democracy Fund, and I believe it's the democracyfund.org. It might just be democracyfund.org. And, you know, it's a bipartisan nonprofit organization that seeks to enhance transparency, accountability, and participation in government, particularly at the national level, because it seems the most complex, but certainly provides support at the state level as well. And I had been on a cross-country trip this summer to visit my father in San Diego. He was ill. And in driving across the country, it hit me how vast and stunningly beautiful this country is and how little I know about it, sort of at a tangible level. So I wrote a proposal and said, maybe I can feed my own appetite to better understand this beautiful place called America, but then at the same time maybe contribute to a healthy discussion about revitalizing democracy.
All right, so the Democracy Fund has sort of put you out there as the man in the field, as it were. Now you're checking in with small towns and big cities across America. You were just in Grand Marais. How did that go, and how did that come to be?
Well, it was great. So it came to be because an old... I shouldn't say old, but a friend from school there locally had invited me up when she learned of the project and was going to put together a little sort of kitchen table talk with some folks that she knows are engaged in sort of civic life there in Grand Marais. As it turns out, I think three of them had to be at a campaign kickoff for a local rep. So frankly, I couldn't have been better dismayed, if that's a malapropism that works, at not meeting a few folks because they were off, you know, launching their next political chapter. So that was good. But the conversation that we did have was three adults around the table and myself, and we sort of dove into my question.
Yeah, and there's some really profound questions here when I look at your blog and sort of what you're putting out there, what you want people to answer. Talking about a more perfect union, and is that even possible? Now, I think of perfection as just the penultimate. You can't be more perfect, but talk about that phrase, a more perfect union, and what that's meant to people.
Yeah. Well, so I think when it was, you know, when these founding documents were framed, we were coming out of this Enlightenment tradition that certainly fell prey to a little bit of hyperbole and sort of glossy-eyed romanticism. But at the same time, you know, this clutch of highly motivated individuals were embarking on a journey that they felt pretty personally invested in, whether it was their lives or their fortunes, right? We all know that famous pledge they made. And so I think they recognized humbly, but, you know, with some real vigor, the limits of what they could establish in their lifetime. And I think what they sought to do was hand down to subsequent generations the basic framework for a nation that could grow and expand and achieve remarkable outcomes for its citizens and possibly for the world.
Yes, and you framed it in a call to democratic imagination and restless nation building. That's very profound, Lars. I'm Dave Terzic. Well, I'm talking with Lars Hasselblad Torres. He is on A Search for America, driving across the country from his home in Vermont and traveling east to west, I presume. You're out in Washington and had a recent stop in Grand Marais, Lars. What are you finding at these kitchen table discussions? What's the mood? What's America telling you?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I haven't fully digested everything, right? I mean, this is one of the things that I maybe discounted was just how swift I would be sort of moving across without enough of that slow sort of downtime to organize my thoughts. But I'll give a couple of things that I think are really striking right now. First of all, this real appetite to talk about democracy, not about politics per se, but to talk about democracy and what it means to really participate. And there's been an interesting sort of range, if you will, between optimism and discouragement. I would say, unfortunately, a little bit more on the discouraging side right now, questioning whether the fundamental institutions of democracy really are sacred. Ideas of freedom of speech, things like this. And so there is a little bit of discouragement, but at the same time, I think there's also a big appetite to get behind principled leadership that can step out of sort of the boundaries of political scripts and really establish some markers that are audacious and help us dream together about what this nation can do. So that discouragement and a little bit of optimism around process over politics. The second piece is a lot of anger at money and politics, both sides, reds and blues, for lack of a better term, but across the political sides, folks are really upset about the amount of money in politics and how it skews the process towards interests, and particularly those of companies and those of the wealthy. I think another theme that I was really happy to hear as someone of Puerto Rican background is, how immigration is so central to our democratic proposition, both replenishing the wells of optimism and entrepreneurship, but just also it expands and enriches our fabric of civic life. And so I've been very interested to hear the support for immigration. So those are three themes. Another one is, I guess, somewhat goes to the first one, which is exhaustion. I think folks are feeling need that time to sort of step back and take a breath, because the speed at which some things are happening at the national level right now just seems to be at such a pace that it's difficult to keep up and to know where to sort of put your energy, because you commit one night to, all right, I'm going to get to know the FCC and why yanking radio licenses is an issue. And then the next morning, you need to worry about North Korea or something else. And so I think this hopscotch nature of the political agenda at the national level right now, people are feeling a little bewildered.
Well, this is a personal journey for you, Lars, and a search for America. And I was going to ask you that sort of personal question of, like, how are you faring as far as the moods and your energy, and is this inspiring you or discouraging you?
Absolutely, 1,000% inspiring me, not only because I have Hamilton loaded up on the CD player, but also just the amount of generosity and openness and warmth that I've encountered, from sort of down and out industrial cities, I shouldn't say down and out, Cleveland is on the rebound, Buffalo's on the rebound. But at one point, these were cities that were losing young people and losing entrepreneurship. So just a huge amount of individual warmth. And I think the biggest puzzle that I carry with me as I'm sort of moving and thinking about these things is, how do we lose that when we go from local level politics and interests and commitment to then this national theater for negotiation and progress?
That's a big question, and no doubt you're pondering it. You will have reports for this, for the Democracy Fund. What are some of the outcomes of your project?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple. One is I get to exercise my photographic gene, if you will, and so I may try to put together a visual art exhibition to show locally in Vermont and generate some conversation. But certainly the top outcome is a report, nothing too long, but really a summary, what we'd call in the policy circles a green paper, which is just intended to freshen thinking and get some ideas rolling. The Democracy Fund has called this a fishing expedition. And so I'll write a report that summarizes a little bit of what I've heard. At the same time, offer a few ideas about how they might tackle this gap between sort of local engagement and the national political process, and how to sort of repair that or bridge that void. And then the third piece that I'm really excited about is to take some of the insights that I've learned around the narratives and the imagery that folks use to describe democratic aspiration, and invite arts organizations at the state level to begin thinking about how to support that, how to expand through the arts and culture in the way that Hamilton has probably done, our sense of attachment to this thing called democracy versus politics, and then also think about ways to engage in the ideas of democracy through arts programming.
All right, Lars, very good work. Keep it up. Where
Thank
can
you.
Folks learn more about this, and how can they follow you?
Please do visit searchforamerica.org. I will say I'm woefully behind in getting my blog up to date. There's also a link to my Instagram feed and then a Facebook page. I think when I'm in Seattle, Denver, and then finally San Diego, I'll be putting a couple of posts up and photographs that are sort of in progress. So please do. And of course, if folks know, Trump voters, Hillary Clinton voters, Sanders voters, and others, third party Jill Stein and others, across that political spectrum, sign up and help me get in touch with folks from all backgrounds, because the deeper I can connect with people, the richer I think the outcomes will be.
All right, that's at searchforamerica.org. And Lars, exactly. Last question's kind of a fun one. What are you driving?
I am driving a Volvo. Volvo station wagon, which, I'm about 6 feet one. So in order to do some of the car camping up in the mountains and whatnot, I need a car with a good long bed.
yes, a true Vermontite in a Volvo. It's got the Vermont plates as well.
Well, it's funny. So I had an accident in in Minnesota over on the western side, and had to abandon the Subaru that I started out with, which is the ultimate Vermont car, the Subaru Outback. And I got super lucky. This was up in Hibbing, right? Bob Dylan's hometown. And so there was a great folks up there, Ranger, GMC, something like this. And they had this Volvo there that I was able to get for a good deal and pay cash on and get back on the road. So a lot of help up there in northern Minnesota. Thank you, in case your radio reaches that far over.
All right, Lars. Keep on trucking, and we appreciate all your efforts. Everybody check out searchforamerica.org and sign up and answer these fundamental questions posed by Lars Hasselblad Torres on his Search for America and a More Perfect Union. Thanks for joining us on The Roadhouse.